I was privileged and fortunate to be a pastor of one beautiful parish, a parish on the north side of Chicago, and the parish itself was an eye treat in terms of its internal architectural beauty, baldacchino altar, a 100-seat chapel off to the right. But one of the striking features of the parish itself was the stained glass. And the stained glass windows were 42 feet high and 18 feet wide. So you can imagine how large those windows were. And as you come in, immediately the impact of the stained glass message is upon you. Well, the one stained glass to my right, to your left, on the one side of the church, was a depiction of the heavenly kingdom. And the interesting thing is, it was so striking, is that you had the heavenly, you had the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, you had literally the saints kind of surrounding it. Now, many of the saints were Jesuit because this was a Jesuit-formed parish. So, you know, most Jesuits think they're all saints, you realize that. Everything, but there are all these saints all around, and then literally the faithful in heaven, and then at the bottom there was an aspect of patriotism, and it was put in right after World War I. So there was a soldier and a sailor, and the soldier was holding a flag, and he had cupped the flag around the pole, and he was kneeling down, and the flag was touching the ground. Well, I can tell you that having been a chaplain in the military for 23 years, various members of the military would come in to see me. And, of course, they'd want to see the church. And so I'd take them into the church and see it. And immediately that struck them. And they were horrified. The flag touching the ground? How could that be? And you never allowed the flag to touch the ground. And, of course, I would have to remind them, never, unless it's before God. Never, unless the culmination of everything we are is seen in that person and the power and majesty of God, everything bows down. Everything is seen in that source, which is God, which empowers all of us in everything we do and who we are. There is no division then. Everything comes to its completion and fulfillment in God. Now, I say this because Jesus is posed with a problem today. No. And obviously, we know that, that there's an attempt to trick Jesus. That's very obvious from the text. The Herodians and the Pharisees, they want to trap Jesus in forcing him into a position where he can't win, no matter what he says. Whose allegiance do we owe? Do we owe allegiance to Caesar? Do we owe allegiance to God? Of course, if Jesus says, certainly we should pay our taxes to Caesar, then all of the Pharisees are going to say, he's against, basically, the Israelite community. He's against the understanding of God being the former and fashion of our lives. Then, of course, if he says not to pay the taxes, the Herodians, who were Roman sympathizers, are going to run back and say, see, he's an insurrectionist. He doesn't want taxes to be paid. He wants to create political unrest. So, of course, Jesus' response is a simple one. And there's a little trick in there that Jesus does, too. He says, show me a coin. So, of course, everybody's digging in their pockets or their robes, and they pull out a coin. What does that tell you? They're already participating in the political structure. They're already doing that. A little smile on the faces of everybody as Jesus kind of asks them to produce the coin, and they do, in fact, produce the coin with an image of Caesar on it. And then Jesus says very aptly, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Here, you know, that statement is, even if Caesar is not basically a follower of the one God, he still has legitimate authority. He still is interested in creating the common good and justice. And when that legitimate authority pursues justice and pursues the common good, then implicitly God's authority is there, because God calls us to justice. He calls us to the common good. But Jesus doesn't leave it at that. He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, but give to God what is God's. Now I ask you the question, what is God's? And I would hope that our answer immediately would be, well, everything belongs to God. Everything in this world is in relationship to God. And so too, therefore, Caesar is bound by that same statement, render unto God what is God. Render the justice that is due to the people that are under the lawful authority. Render to the common good which is being pursued. Render the dignity of human persons. And in that, the legitimacy is found, the legitimacy that God gives in and through his very person to all human beings, to all of us. I've always thought it strange in the history of the United States that Catholics are always questioned of whether or not they can be loyal citizens. They didn't question that of John Carroll, one of our founding fathers, when John Carroll made an intervention to the Pope to intervene in France to support the revolution that was here. They didn't reject Lafayette, Pulaski, or Kosciuszko when they came over to help and assist. They didn't question whether they were Catholic and they could support both the government and the sense of democracy? No. It only comes later when we begin to create divisions. We compartmentalize our relationship with God. That's when the real questions come in. And for those people of faith, that compartmentalization cannot occur, because faith has to take a part in every aspect of our lives, who we are and what we do. We can't separate it. And we can't separate ourselves from that. And that's why the test of legitimate authority always is in relationship to our responsibility to the moral code, our responsibility to what God calls us to be, our responsibility to dignity. And we can see that in examples in our country. We can see that in the examples of those individuals who have led lives which have helped to raise our sense of that justice. Today there'll be a dedication of the Martin Luther King statue in Washington, D.C. And those individuals who want to paint Martin Luther King as just a simple individual who had political aspirations miss the fact that his total motivation was from the gospel and from God, calling us to understand the dignity that is shared by all human beings. And that sense transcends any one individual and reflects God's presence among us. I say for ourselves too, we have to take a look at that passage that Jesus speaks to us, that passage which talks to us about creating divisions. And we can't do that even in our own lives. We can't create a division. We can't compartmentalize our love of God on 1 hour basis on a Sunday. But that love of God has to permeate everything that we do and who we are. It has to be that sense within our own lives that we open ourselves up to allow God to use us as an instrument in order to further his will in this world. I'm going to tell you today that there will be no division for those who will be praying that the Brewers win the game today. They will immediately take their faith either into that ballpark or watching that television and be praying for a victory. And there'll be no sense of a separation there. Be taking our faith where we live and who we are, but always opening ourselves up to what God wants and how God wants to use us. That's the key. If we were in that stained glass window, we'd immediately understand what the true source of all of our power is. We're not in that stained glass window. We are in the living reality of the world. But we represent that stained glass window and always pointing through ourselves to the God of love, who is the source of everything we do and who we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.